can come together in your house. Thank you for providing this building, the air conditioning. We can sit in comfort and hear the word of God. And Lord, you have blessed us. And we do pray for our bus workers today that you'd strengthen them, help them today. I know it's extremely hot. And as they go home today, we pray you just give them strength and endurance as they take the kids home and the bus workers, and bless them today and encourage their hearts. And Lord, do thank you for the good week you've given us in Bible school, for the many who made professions of faith, the many homes that were touched, and now bless in the coming months as we do follow-up and try to get back in every home and follow-up on every decision. And Lord, just help us there, we pray. And think of Ms. Hill there at Medical Center, and as they are having some issues there and probably at the emergency room, we pray that you'd give the doctors wisdom as they try to decide if they should admit her or what should be done. Pray for Jim Hoff also there in the hospital and really struggling with dementia and all kinds of problems, and be with he and his wife and really encourage their hearts today. And think of Clifford as he'll be having surgery tomorrow to remove his bladder. We pray that that would go well, and pray you just touch him and help him through these coming days. Encourage his heart. Give him peace as he faces his surgery tomorrow. Think of Maxie's sister, also in the hospital. We pray you touch her and help her. Lord, for the Plumadors as they're traveling back to Connecticut today, give them safety and watch over them. Others, Lord, that have spoken to me this morning, special decisions have to be made and meetings this week that need your guide and help in. And then, Lord, we ask you, Lord, just to bless as we study your word today. And help us as believers to just believe the word of God and do what it says, that we might have a blessed life, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Colossians 3, 18 and 19. Colossians 3, I don't usually start out with a text, but I'm going to this morning. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. I tell you what, let's do something different. Men, let's have you read verse 18. Bunch of chickens. I'll read them both for you. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit, or as it is meet in the Lord. Verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Now, last week we dealt with verse 18, and something very interesting happened last week. We typically record the lessons here in the back, and we also record them on the camera. Neither were successful. We have a lady running the camera in the back, and we did see a lady with dark shades on around in the back. We're not sure, but we think it may be a conspiracy. You know, God's command for wives is very simple. Wives, submit to your own husband. Now, we have made this very complicated, and it's interesting, as I talked with people this week after the lesson, probably one of the most talked about lessons we've had in a while. Everybody wants to say, okay, I will submit if. We're all looking for the exceptions. I will submit to my husband if he does this. Do you find that in that verse? Now, men, before you get too excited, I'm coming to you, so I notice you're being real quiet this morning. You know what? And I was talking, I think, to David as we were walking to the auditorium. You know what we need to do, folks? Now, this is true of every area of life. We just need to take the Bible at face value and do what it says. I feel like last Sunday, when I got done, all I did was give to you what God said in His Word here in Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5. I really do. And folks, a simple matter of fact is, if you're going to have a home, a marriage that is right with each other and right with God, you need to obey what God's word says. And the wife's obligation is to voluntarily submit to her husband. Period. No ifs, ands, or buts. Okay? Yes. Now, Anna Marie, you're stealing my whole lesson, okay? Just hold that thought, okay? See, I gotta throw off page 4 through 5 right now. It's just history. There you go. No, you would say, Lord, I voluntarily submitted to my husband. No, that's all right. Now, it's interesting that you use those words because really, and it is not a matter of the husband. It does not say here, husbands, make your wives submit. It does not. It says, wives, submit. Voluntarily submit to your husband, okay? The picture is not a man with a whip saying, woman, submit, whack. That's not the picture. It is a submissive woman. Now, we spent the whole lesson on this last week, okay? But it wasn't on tape, so we're just trying to get a little bit on tape here.
Thank you, sir.
That's right. The whole lesson, that's right. Put the guys off for a week. You know, it's interesting. I'll be honest with you, last week I was a little nervous teaching that lesson. And yet all I was teaching was the Word of God. Now, my point in the introduction, folks, is this. It ought to be like the Nike commercial, okay? Just do it. Is God's Word clear about what we ought to do? All right, now, let me ask you. Why is it so hard to obey God's Word? Now, because we have our old flesh, because we're full of pride, because we don't want to submit to anybody. Now, folks, this is not just wives submitting their husbands. This is in all areas of our Christian life. I mean, the Word of God tells us we ought to witness, and yet we don't. The Word of God says we ought to pray, and yet we don't. The Word of God tells us we ought to read our Bible, and we don't. The Word of God says we shouldn't lie, and we do. And the Word of God says we shouldn't look at things that are unholy, and we do. Why is it so hard, folks? Why? Boy, a new day will dawn in our lives, and we as believers just say, yes, Lord, I will obey. I will obey. And I'm just going to be honest with you right up front here. Look, a new day will dawn in your home and in your marriage when you just say, okay. Okay. Now, the reason that homes are a wreck and the reason that marriages are a wreck is because we refuse to do what God says to do. And we want to take a phrase like, wives, submit to your husbands, and we want to say, accept, 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 and we want to have 20 exception clauses in there. The only exception clause is if your wife or your husband should ask you to do something contrary to the Word of God, which more than likely will never happen. Now, all you women can relax. Men, it's your turn. Verse 19, now Paul's going to turn to the men, and he gives two commands to the men. By the way, he gave one to the women, he gives two to the men, all right? And they are connected. And I'm going to spend all of our time this morning on that first one, because we need to understand what that means. And then we'll finish it up next week and spend some time on the second one. Number one, a command to love. Now, many of you know these things already, but I want to just review them very quickly. There are three different Greek words, at least three different Greek words for love. And I want to talk about those real quickly because we need to talk about the right kind of love, all right? The first kind of love is the erotic love. It's the Greek word eros. And you can see how we get that word erotic. It is a purely physical, sensual love. Now, by the way, when you watch television and they talk about love, that's what they're talking about, okay? It is a purely physical relationship, a purely physical attraction. Now, by the way, when you first met your spouse, there probably was a physical attraction. If not, I don't know how you ever got together, you know? You began to you saw them for the first time and you said, wow, I like that. You know? That took place at the beginning, and there's nothing wrong with that, but if that's all you got, What's going to happen when the looks change? You got a problem. You see, this eros love, by the way, is not found in the New Testament, but it is a temporary love. It is a sensual love. It is a physical love. And when anything changes, it's gone. Okay? Now, when someone says, wow, it was love at first sight. Now, this is the kind of love they're talking about. Okay? Now, secondly is the word phileo, and you know that word too. There's a city in Pennsylvania called Philadelphia. Very good. You're great scholars. And the city of what? Brotherly love. And I bet you go to Philadelphia, you couldn't find brotherly love anywhere. They'll mug you in a heartbeat. But this kind of love is a mutual love. You love someone because you are loved. And you think of friendship you have. If I have friendship with my cupboard here, there is a mutual love for each other. What if there's only love or friendship on one side? What if only one person shows love and care for the other person? How long is that friendship going to last? Not very long. This is a mutual kind of thing. Well, if you love me, then I'll love you. And if you, you know, I'll, whatever. It is a legitimate kind of love, but it's based on feelings and emotions. And it's interesting, we're never commanded to have this kind of love in the Word of God in your marriage. Again, this is temporary. It is unstable. You see, this kind of love depends upon how people respond to you. This is not the kind of love we're to have, but let's be honest. In our homes, if we're honest, often that's the kind of love we have. And men, we will say, okay, I will love my wife and I will do things for her as long as she submits to me. Do you see that anywhere in verse 19? Husbands, love your wives when she, fill in the blank. It's not there, folks. It's not there. It says, husbands, love your wives. And again, women, it's not, I will submit to my husband as long as he loves me. The condition is not there. And almost all the time when people come to me and ask about these verses or talk about marital counseling, the problem is not me, it's always them. The simple matter of fact, you can't fix them. In fact, you've got a pretty good job trying to fix yourself. Now, men, God has given to us responsibility of loving our wives. And you know the word. It's the word agape. It's the highest form of love. It's self-sacrificial love. It is sacrificing what I want to meet someone else's needs. This is not a matter of emotions. This is a matter of the will. Ah, now that changes, doesn't it? What happens to your emotions? If your love is based upon emotions for your spouse, you're going to love her at 6 o'clock at night, maybe 7:30, 8:30. What about 8 o'clock in the morning? Not a chance, you know? And then when they're nice to you, you're going to love them. When they're not nice to you, you're not going to love them. This is the kind of love, folks, that is commanded because it's a matter of the will. It is a decision to love. Now, folks, this is where God's love differs from the world's love. The world's love is feeling. It's emotion. It's this warm and fluffy feeling and all these things. God's love is a commanded love. It is a decision to love. It is a matter of the will. Now, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 13. Because this kind of love is described here. 1 Corinthians 13. Now, I want you to kind of glance down through that list, starting in verse 4 through verse 8. And I want you to look at all of the words there. It says, charity suffereth long, and it is kind, it envieth not. What? Now, the word charity is there, but the other word involved there, what kind of word is that? Noun, verb, subject, predicate, whatever. Well, the other word, it's not in there, that's not charity. In all those phrases, they're all what? They're all verbs. So charity or love, there's the verb, it suffereth long. Charity, there's the verb, it envieth not. Okay? You get the idea? What's the point? Real love shows itself in action. And he's very clear here, folks, about what love is. Look, we could probably camp right here on verse 4 in the very first one and have an imitation. Charity suffereth long. Now, what word would you use for that? Charity is patient. Should we pray and have two stands of imitation? Boy, it's easy to be impatient, isn't it? Come on, woman, get your act together. This is easy. You can understand this. Just do it. I mean, hallelujah. How hard can it be? Get over it. Get on with it, you know. Charity is love is patient. Wow. That's just the first one. Okay. Let's move on. Oh, this is a good one. And is kind. Now, you don't need me to explain kind, do you? You know what kind is? Okay. It's what you weren't this week. That's what it is. Is there ever a time that it's right for a husband to be unkind to his wife? Mm-mm. There isn't. Charity is kind. Love is kind. It envieth not, is not jealous what the other person has. It is not, vaunteth not itself. It is not proud. It doesn't brag about what they have. It's not puffed up, not full of pride. It doth not behave itself unseemly. It's not rude or overbearing. Okay? Now, by the way, if your phone's ringing, hallelujah, answer it, gentlemen. Okay? All right. Seeketh not her own. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily provoked. Oh, there's a good one. You don't get irritated or angry at a personal offense. I tell you, we could preach a whole message on this stuff. And I'd have to listen to it too. Thinketh no evil, always thinks the best in every situation. Wow. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, never happy about somebody else's sin or somebody else's problem. But rejoiceth in the truth. And then all these things here at the end, it beareth all things. It means it puts up with everything. It believes all things. It hopes all things. And what happens with this kind of love, folks? It endures all things, and it never fails. Now, folks, that's the kind of love. Gentlemen, okay, if you've gone to sleep, wake up. Now, this is a great lesson, wives. You ought to be just going to town, you know. Yeah, no, don't do that. Let the Spirit of God do that, okay? Yes, sir. Yeah, and once again, you're as bad as Anna Marie. Just hang in there, Jim. Okay? I'm a teacher here! Okay. It's a good thing I love you, Jim, or I get upset. Good. That is a great truth, Jim. We'll get to that in Ephesians here in a minute. Now, so let me define this love for you, okay? After all those things, it is a self sacrificing love. You say, Gary, I love my wife. All right, here's how you prove it. You sacrifice what you want to meet her needs. That's it. See? You sacrifice what you want to meet her needs. Now, it's interesting. The tense of this command, you're back in Colossians. You know, I guess you need to turn there. It's a short passage. But really, we could read it. Husbands, keep on loving your wives. Keep on loving your wives. You know, I want you to stop and think for a minute. And this may be ancient history for you, but I want you to think about when you were dating. Now, there was some love, wasn't there? And I want you to think, man, about what you did and what you sacrificed because you loved your wife to be. And exactly. You wrote, some of you, how many wrote love notes to their sweetheart before you got married? Come on. Some of you, how many wrote, drew pictures? No, I'm just kidding. You say, how many of you bought gifts? You bought gifts for her before you got married. Come on, man. Some of you guys are losers. I don't know how you got married. I tell you what. And you said nice things to them and you told them how pretty they were. Oh, you are so beautiful. You are the most beautiful woman or girl in the world. Oh, I just love you so much. You are just so wonderful. You opened the car door for her. Maybe some of you did. Some of you never have learned that. You helped her when she got home with, you know, you helped her carry. Oh, let me carry that for you. You know, now she comes in with the groceries and you're sitting there watching TV and she's lugging all this stuff in and lugging it all in and you just sit there. It's probably a lot of truth to that. And you wanted to hold her hand and you wanted to hug her and all those things and you told her how much you left her. Now think about this. And you didn't go to the ball game so you could spend time with your wife or your wife to be. And you told the guys, hey guys, sorry, can't be there. I got to spend time with my woman, you know. That's exactly right. And you obeyed back then. And you just wanted to spend time with them. Now look, here's what the Bible says, folks. It says this. Keep loving her in the same way. Keep loving her in the same way. Now look, folks. What the Word of God is giving us will solve the problem that you've got. Now there's no gifts, there's no dates, there's no hand-holding, there's no opening the car door, there's no helping. We're sitting in the recliner watching the race. And I can say that because I hate racing. Okay? We're sitting in the recliner watching the ball game. We're sitting there watching something, and none of this stuff's going on. Now, hallelujah, I think I can come forward at this point, okay? By the way, I knew this was coming. I was opening the car door yesterday for my wife. I took her out to eat lunch. You know? Yeah, I knew it was coming. I got all the bases covered. You know, being real nice, holding her hand, and put my arm around her. We were visiting the hospital yesterday. Put my arm around her, you know. Yeah. I knew what I was teaching on. I'm no dummy. You know, I'm not gonna be convicted by my own teaching. Now, don't do that. I got her fooled. Now, he says, look, husbands, here it is. Keep on loving your wife. Now, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5 before Anna Marie and Jim stole my thunder. Ephesians chapter 5. Here's the parallel passage. Now, Paul gives us one verse in Colossians 3. He gives us quite a few verses here in Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5:21 is the verse we covered last week, 21-22. We'll skip those. We'll go to verse 23. Well, excuse me, verse 25. Husbands, here it is. Love your wives. Now, again, you say, well, see, when you've talked about 1 Corinthians 13, you've talked about keep on loving your wife. Now, God's going to even give you some more, okay? You say, all right, what does it mean to love my wife? All right, he's going to show us. Husbands, love your wives. Here it is, even as. All right? Love like what? Like Christ also loved the church. And notice the next word. And what's the next word? Gave. And gave. What did we say love was? Love is self-sacrificing to meet their need. Okay? You give and you give and you give. And notice verse 26. In fact, we'll start right there because I'm not going to stop there. I'm not going to cover the next part until next week. Now, all right, let's stop for a moment and think about Christ's love for us. John 3:16, let's quote it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How do you know God loved you? He gave his own son. Now think about it. And we can't totally understand this because we think of the Trinity as three separate people, but that's one. And God loved us so much that he sent Jesus. Jesus, who was worshiped in heaven, who lived in a place of perfection and no sin and no sickness and no problems. And he left all of that and he came down into this world and he took upon himself human form. And he, because of that, he got tired. He got hungry. He allowed people to spit on him, to hit him, to curse him, to mock him, to treat him terribly. And why did he do that, folks? Because he looked down through time and he said, you know what? There are some good people right there. And they deserve my love. Huh. What do we deserve, folks? We deserve to go to hell. But God loved us so much, folks, that he sent Jesus to this world. And not only that, but in Romans 5:8 it said, but God commendeth, that's the word showed, his love toward us, in that while we were yet good people, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I want you to just stop and think for a moment what Christ did on the cross for you. Do you realize, Nick, that every one of your sins that you've ever committed, ever will commit, when Christ died, everyone was placed on him. Bob, do you realize that every sin, every wrong thought, every wrong action was placed on Christ? Now you multiply that times 100 people in this room. You multiply that times 6 billion people in this world and all the people that have lived. He was bruised for our transgressions. Why? Because he wanted to. Because he loved us. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and to set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but what did he do? He died alone for you and for me. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And folks, he didn't do it because we met some condition, because we were highly educated, because we were very moral people, because we're good people, because we have great intellect. He did it because he wanted to. And he sacrificed everything for us. Now, husbands, the Holy Spirit of God inspired Paul to write, you love your wife like that. Wow. What does that do with all these things of, well, I'll love her when she... What if God had said, you know what? Tanner Cagle, I'm going to love him when he... Or what if he said, when Gary Seaman meets my standard, then I'll love him. And yet, isn't that what we do, men? Well, when my wife meets my needs, then I'll tell her I love her and I'll show her how much I love her. When she totally submits to me, then I'll love her. Folks, there are no conditions here. Here it is. I've got it in caps. Love your wife. Love your wife. You say, but she doesn't make me happy anymore. That's not the deal. Okay? You say, well, she can't cook. Well, you knew that when you married her. I mean, come on, you know. You say, well, she isn't kind to me. She doesn't look like she used to. By the way, you don't either, buddy. That's not the point. He just says, love your wives. And I tell you what, men, I have a pretty good idea that if you'll start loving your wife the way Christ loved the church, it'll take care of most of the problems you got. There is a law of sowing and reaping. There is. You say, well, you don't know my wife. I mean, I tell you what, I know God's word. The problem is we're just not obeying God's word. Now, I want you to turn to one more passage. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Let me give you a couple of real practical things here. 1 Peter 3. Now, I was going to read the first six verses, but I don't have time. I want to read just the sixth verse, and all the men are going to say amen, hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 6. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and all the men say, amen. That's good stuff right there. She needs to call me Lord. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. There's the first thing. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. There's the second thing. And as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, Peter's going to give us three very specific things. One of those is, number one, dwell with them according to knowledge. And if you want to write this down, the word is consideration. Consideration. Live with her in an understanding way. You say, Seaman, that's impossible. I can never understand the way she thinks. Well, that's because she's a woman and you're a man and you're different. Okay? Time Magazine figured that out about 4 or 5 years ago. Put it on the cover. It was amazing. They figured that out. What a bunch of idiots. How do you understand your wife? Women, you help me. How can your husband understand you? Listen. Yeah. There you go. I was kind of nervous in that one. Yeah, this is okay. You know, probably one of the best things we could ever do in our homes is just turn our TVs off and sit down and say, what did you say? Put down the magazine, the newspaper, step away from the computer and your smartphone, and listen. Find out what makes your wife tick. Find out what your wife's dreams are, what her fears are, what she's thinking. We don't even know. Why? Because we're so busy making money and doing all kinds of things and having fun ourselves and doing what we enjoy that we never listen. We don't listen. It's funny, I think it was yesterday, my wife, or the day before, asked me a question. And I don't even know what we're talking about. And I said, well, that's okay because this happened. She said, what? She didn't think I was listening. I knew exactly what she was talking about. I just gave her a crazy answer. I said, I was. She said, you weren't even listening. I said, I was too. Half the time I don't. And I should. I am a program-oriented person. Now, that's good in a lot of ways if you're over programs. But if you're trying to help people, that's bad. And we do this and we do this. Wait a minute. Stop. And listen, folks, consideration. Find out what makes her tick, and hallelujah, try to minister and meet her needs. All right? Secondly, I got to hurry. I got 2 minutes. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Secondly, giving honor unto the wife as under the weaker vessel. Here's the second C word. This is a great old word, chivalry. Isn't that a great word? The Word of God says that the wife is the weaker vessel, and that's true in most cases. Okay. The man is typically stronger physically, typically stronger emotionally, not always. Some men are basket cases, but that's all right. They're touching their feminine side, you know. And he said, look, you need to care for your wife. You need to be there with your strength to minister to her needs. And then the last one. Oh, by the way, I had something written down here. I don't know if this is where I heard this at, but I liked it. Somebody said, treat her like a queen, and she will allow you to be the king. And I thought that was pretty good. I don't know who said that. Probably some liberal somewhere. I don't know. But, you know, that's pretty good truth. And then notice the last thing here. It says, as being heirs together of the grace of life. There's communion, spiritual communion, physical communion. Just being together. Spending time together. You say, is it possible for man to live like that? To sacrifice everything they want in order to meet the needs of his wife. Well, you know what's interesting? I ended the lesson the same way last week. Is it possible for a wife to live in godly submission to you, man, or to me? And the answer is very much the same, isn't it? The only way to do this is to be spirit controlled, to allow the Spirit of God to make you. And it's interesting, when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, what's the first one? The fruit of the Spirit is love. And the Word of God says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. By the way, if God commands you to love, then it must be possible. Now, we're going to spend some more time here, men, if you can handle it, next week, and talk about that second part of that verse. Let me encourage you, if you've got some time this week, study that verse. Figure out what that second part. Be not bitter against them. See if you can figure out what that means. And they're connected. They're tied together. We'll talk about that next week. But men, your homework this week, here it is. Love your wife. Love your wife. And make sure she knows it. You know what? That ought to be your full-time job. We say, well, I got to raise these kids. Hey, I got news for you. I'm there. Those kids are going to be gone very soon. And you're going to have a mate and you're going to say, who are you? Where'd you come from? You better take care of that mate. Love your wife. Love your wife. Be a spirit-controlled husband, women. Be a spirit-controlled wife. You do that, you'll have a harmonious home. You will. It'll be great. It'll be great. Lord, help us, I pray, to simply obey the Word of God. Help us to swallow our pride and to put others first. Help us to be submissive by the Spirit of God, I pray. And God, give us homes that are harmonious, homes where God is honored, where love is given, where things are in the right order biblically, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.